So Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be here. And before starting, I would really give you a little history of the seminar which you are about to participate in. It was maybe 3 years ago that I noted that many devotees who had joined our Krishna consciousness movement felt something like a lack of, in their words, emotional fulfillment. They said after so many years of practice that deep, deep inside their hearts they lacked that deep satisfaction and identification which is necessary to go the path all the way up. Then I became very curious and I began to study the goodbye letters of our sannyasis, of our gurus. I looked into other things. And I always noted that the same subject came up, either phrased in the same terminology, emotional fulfillment, or in terminologies like I lacked companionship, I lacked understanding, I lacked this or that. I felt very worried. Because we should make advancement, and our advancement should bring us back home, back to Godhead. It's not good if older members report after a long and serious journey that something is missing in their lives. And I then plunged into, more or less involuntarily, into this subject matter of transformation, transformation of the heart, or changing the heart in such a way that it does feel fulfilled on the spiritual journey. I remember it was in America 3 years ago where devotees came to me at an alarming rate. And then I started to go deeply into the subject. I discussed with Satyaraj Prabhu. I studied what other people would say about transformation of the heart, inner fulfillment, and so on. And I gave many seminars on this subject matter. The first in Radhadesh, called the Transformation Seminar. I studied what was going on in our movement, where some devotees tried to apply the tools of modern psychology into transformation. I visited summer camps. I gave another well-attended seminar called Emotional Fulfillment in Krishna Consciousness. And finally, a little book came out from it, The Art of Transformation. I wouldn't say it really represents all my work, but it does give a little insight. I've talked much, much, much about it, that it could fill a big book. But those of you who are interested to pursue this subject matter, here is a little, little bite into it. The transformation of the heart, the changing of the heart, is the most important aspect of our Krishna consciousness. You can easily change your hairstyle. You can also easily change your clothing style. You can easily change your language and say Haribol instead of hello. But the changing of the heart may not be affected by this. It may not come about. Srila Prabhupada writes about this, and I will request some of you to take notes. Here's a place you can take notes. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, text 24, he writes in his purpose, please hear, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord as a subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. My dear devotees, listen to this carefully, as Nishingananda has addressed me, so I will not disappoint you. Give it your whole attention. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart. The frisura means hairstyle, the dress is not the most important. The heart should change from thinking himself to be an enjoyer and a controller into becoming a servant, a blissful servant, totally happy to have such a wonderful master as Lord Krishna. There's a commentary on the Yoga Sutras, and I request you a little bit to now go an unconventional line of thought with me, which describes a little bit what is the heart and what a change of heart could mean. Patanjali, who is quoted also, is an authority of yoga. He described to us that the heart is the place from where the desires appear, and it is also the heart in which the desires disappear. Listen to this yogic language. Desires emanate from the heart. Prabhupada writes, a nectar of devotion, like a ray of light. Desires come. And if we want to make advancement, then in our hearts, the desires will again go back. It will be reverting back, and spiritual desires will happen there. The heart is a very powerful place. You can say that the heart has an undercurrent stream. Imagine here's a stream before you. A stream of Krishna prema, of love for Krishna. But this is an undercurrent. We can't see it so easily. It's there as a nitya siddha, an eternal perfection. However, this stream unfortunately becomes converted in different directions. Love of Godhead is and remains the driving force of all other desires which we have. But unfortunately, they are diverted, these other desires. They are diverted desires or perverted desires, as we sometimes hear. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains to us what this could mean. He says, when the desires are focused on a beautiful body, oh, look at this shape, with the attractive mountain scape of the mountainous shapes of the human body. There are elevations here and elevations there, like in a landscape. Huh? When the attention becomes fixed in this direction, love turns into lust. Correct. If love becomes diverted, and I see here's money, or here is a wonderful Epson beamer connected to an even more wonderful IBM computer. Then it can become also lust with a tinge of ownership, greed. I must have it. I must possess it. If Krishna prema becomes diverted on the miseries of others, it becomes also a very powerful driving force. Compassion. I must help. I must do something for others. But mind you, at the very cause, at the, let us say, the energizing principle of all our desires, is love. Love for Krishna. If we could just be successful to transform these material desires, which are diversions really from love, if we could just transform them into the original thing, Hare Krishna, we would be very, very happy. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that there is a difference between love and lust, he gives an example, like the difference between gold and iron. They look similar in the sense that they are metals, but their value is vastly different. So to bring iron, if gold is our love and iron is our diverted love, to bring iron back to gold, that is the art of transformation. I come from Europe, and there were people who tried to do this. They did alchemistry. Alchemistry means to take one lower value metal and transform it into gold by applying a certain alchemical process. The alchemists were not gold-hungry people. It was not gold which was the goal of their research work. They wanted to find the principles which would be necessary to change in order to change one thing into another and apply those very same principles which they believed were of a universal nature to changing the heart. The alchemists were not bankers, but mystics. I do not know if they were successful in doing this. There are rumors that they were. There are rumors that they were not. Here I only want to ask you a question. What do you think is necessary to change iron into gold? You would have to change the whole atomic structure of iron to do so. And in order to be successful, you would have to take it up with a force which in physics is called the strong force. It's one of the four forces which hold the universe together. It's that force which takes care that the harmonium stays the harmonium and doesn't become Nishinananda's computer. The atoms have to stay in place because only then one thing is one thing and another thing is another thing. Do you know that on the atomic structure there is not much of a difference between the sacred button on which you sit and the chair on which you rest. It's all atoms, param anus, smallest subatomic principles, the param anu, the Vedic scriptures say, but they are held together by a force so strong that if this force wouldn't be there, the whole universe as we know it would collapse and there would be no difference between your sacred behind and the plastic chair. There would in fact be no difference of anything. There would be the matter again, in its primordial force. It's a very strong force. And those... So, Sanatana Goswami says... That exactly this change of the structures is affected by the process of Krishna consciousness. There is a verse which starts with yata. Yata means just as. You can change iron into gold by, he even uses the word, by a certain alchemical process. You can change by a proper initiation and guidance, an ordinary person into a Brahmana. Hare Krishna. There is this verse in Hari Bhakti Vilas. It is there. It is possible. And in this seminar, my dear devotees, I have to see how high is the ceiling so that I don't jump in enthusiasm and finish my life at the very beginning of this seminar. At this very seminar, we will actually learn some of the principles by which we can change our lives and make it into a better devotee who's completely fulfilled, who's not just a devotee by external things, by external features, but who has really changed the heart. This is what we will try to effect. I will now dive into the subject matter. What is it that the heart really wants? The heart really wants what is in Sanskrit terminology called rasa. Rasa is translated as a mellow taste. Here I will turn to our English, fully English speaking Maharaj, mellow taste, but what does mellow really mean?
Pacifying or softening
taste, which always appears in a relationship. There are two desires really which are in the heart. To love and to be loved. This is from Yajnavalkya Smriti. To love and be loved. And this taste of loving or receiving love is happening in a relationship. Now there are two types of rasas. A mundane and a transcendental rasa. In the mundane field, this rasa is of the bhoga tyaga nature. We enjoy something, but as we enjoy it, we overextend our enjoying capability of the thing, and we say, enough is enough. I don't want this any longer. You can see this in your relationship to pizza eating. Boga. And after a certain limit has been crossed,
which happens in an embarrassing way even to older people, there is a good sense of tyaga, renunciation. You also see it in relationships. There are so many physical divorces and every day a few mental divorces. You know, when you say, oh, this guy is too much, or this lady is just too much. Oh, I want to have my peace, please. And it's not often so overtly done. You just go in your room and lock the door behind you, or you do not participate fully in the relationship. You hide behind politeness and conformity and so on and so forth. Boga tyaga, this, I've written down the English word, is this oscillation, going back and forth, is characteristic to the mundane rasa. The other qualification of a mundane taste is, in a relationship, it is temporary. Now there is a transcendental rasa, and this is the bhakti rasam rita sindhu, the ocean of ever expanding loving relationships with Lord Krishna. Our love really wants to have this permanent feeling of amrita, which is not endangered by the oscillating waves of our material experience, of our acceptance and rejection. Our love searches for this eternal resting place in the relationship with Krishna. Each one of us has a God-shaped vacuum in the heart. It's a Krishna-shaped vacuum in the heart. And the only object which can seal this vacuum for good, which can give pacification to our heart, or pacify our heart, that's a better way to explain, is if Krishna can be put into the heart, and a relationship, a loving relationship comes about. And our love will always search and always will remain incomplete until it comes. I sometimes say love is on a journey until it comes to, it's a searching journey, to a T-junction. This is supposed to be a T-junction. It could go now into the material field and experience mundane rasa, but quickly it will become dissatisfied due to the boga tyaga, the oscillation nature, and also it will become dissatisfied very quickly due to its temporary nature. I see a few more devotees coming. Hare Krishna, welcome, welcome, welcome. You engladden our hearts. Mahaprabhu is also there. We have thought about you night and day, Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. I'm also feeling a little restlessness in the audience because some of us will have to leave us. Is it correct? Aruna, you are getting ready to leave? In an hour or so. Mm-hmm. Please, then don't become restless as of yet. So love has come to the T-junction, and it can decide to go material, or it can go and search for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A very good example from Shastra is the experience of Shobhara Rimuni, the yogi who remained in a neutral position, meditating underneath the water for a long time. Then
two fishes came before his into his perception. They came with romantic intent to enjoy themselves, and as he saw the fishes having their romantic affair, his complete desire to enjoy was awakened. His mind became restless, and he approached the T junction. He came out of the waters. He couldn't control his composure any longer, and he decided to go the left way. He came to the court of King Mandahata, and after an initial rejection by the princesses, who thought his body was so unbecoming and so covered with algae, and you know, he was for a long time underwater, he must have looked like a sea monster. Then he used the little bit of mystic powers to change himself into a handsome young man, and all the princesses immediately exclaimed, "This man is fit to become my husband." He married 50, and he must have had a sufficient material experience of the mundane rasa. And after this time, he called his wives together for a meeting and asked, "Are we satisfied?" This wife said, "No, we are not." And then Sobari's yogic inclinations came back again, and he said, "That's because we have not engaged our senses in pleasing the Supreme Lord of the senses, Hrishikesha." And they all together, Sobari Muni, you know, you saw the theater play, the big fish, the medium-sized fish, not the big fish was God in the theater play in Durban, but with his 50 other fishes, went the right way, that is, into the service. They went to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sobari Muni Ki Jai. You were not very enthusiastic. I think you think about your own life. Which way do you go when it comes for fulfillment of the senses? And we will address this in a little moment with some very, very unusual graphs where our spiritual journey takes us to. But for now, I just want to say that coming to the service of Hrishikesh is really what our lives should be about. Prabhupada spoke about this question of rasa, awakening our rasa. It's in a lecture given on the 13th of December, 72. It was a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita 7.1. "Everyone has got Krishna consciousness dormant. It is covered by the influence of Maya. That is also stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti Satya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udoy." Nitya Siddha, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are all part and parcel of Krishna. So therefore our relationship with Krishna is natural. It is natural, just like my part and parcel of the finger. So without finger,
My body's imperfect. Finger must be. So the existence of finger with this body is natural. Similarly, to remain with Krishna, that is our natural position, constitutional position. Listen to this. Remain with Krishna as cowherd boy. Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, this is something for you. I will repeat it. Remain with Krishna as cowherd boy, as gopi, as Krishna's father, Krishna's mother, Krishna's servant, Krishna's trees, Krishna's Yamuna, Krishna's flower. Prabhupada really gets enthusiastic, huh? Krishna's Vrindavan land. Remain with Krishna in any form you like. Santa Dasya Sakya Vatsalya Madhurya. In any mellow humor, you can remain with Krishna. That is our natural position. I can see, that you are listening to me and you say, Maharaj, we know this. It's good theory, but it doesn't work. We hear you very politely. We are from South Africa. You are our guest. But give us something practical. It comes in a moment. But I have to first bring the frame in which we are thinking today to your attention. Also, I have to ward off the constant atom bombs coming from the conservative party towards me. I do know our philosophy a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm now warming you up. This is what I... I will challenge what I said, don't worry. But first, listen to me as I say it, what I need to say, and what I think is the ultimate what is our focus. What is this? We spoke about rasa. In what rasa of can we, who do not yet know our original relationship to Krishna, who do not yet feel our stai bhava in Rupa Goswami's language, approach Lord Krishna in what rasa? It's the servitude mood. That is the safest way, and it is the only way for a conditioned soul to approach God, because we are servants. That's why we have to come through the service lane. Any discussion on rasa, which is, I feel, an important discussion, because we either have mundane or spiritual feelings, must start and must remain on the path of Dasya until we can be awakened in our very specific original thing. Because as you will read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the other rasas have this underlying vibration of servitude. The gopis want to serve Krishna in Madhurya Rasa. Nanda Baba and Yashodama want to serve Krishna in Vatsalya Rasa. That desire to serve is there. Now, Dasyam does not just mean offering fruits to Krishna. Here I did this. This is for you. It means a perpetual relationship of service in loving with love. The example of servitude has been given by Baladev Vidyabhushan, and I feel here is where we can hear a little bit more attentively now. Service does not just mean mechanically offering some type of seva, robot seva, we could call it. Baladev Vidyabhushana says there must be a relationship of love in real service. He gives the example, a negative example, of someone who does not do real service by giving the example of a servant to the king. He uses the fan to give relief to his sweating majesty. But he thinks, hopefully it's soon over and I can go home and, you know, eat something decent and so on and so forth. He is with his mind absent-minded. He's not there. Maybe even he hates his sweating majesty. So Baladev Vidyabhushana says, this is not how a devotee does his service to Audacia in this world. He does it with a loving attitude, trying to please his master. And for that, you need to use your mind. You need to think about it. Sanatana Goswami, he says that service involves all senses, even on a physical level. You should engage all your senses, your talents, your speaking, your moving things, your locomotive senses. All the 10 senses should be engaged in Krishna's service. And he says, just as all senses are purified by a bath, all the senses should be absorbed by dasya, by your servitude of Krishna. Now you are serving Krishna. Why? You are listening to a presentation on Krishna consciousness. It's the most important, how do we say, shravanam, kirtanam. When we do kirtan, we don't engage in a wild physical exercise combined with solid banging and solid clashing of metal, like in a war of the knights. We engaging our senses, and just like the senses become purified when you take a bath and go under the water and come out, everything is bathed. So all your senses, which are led by what sense? The mind, will become purified if you do proper service. This is how you feel rash. Ras. This is how you become a realistic rasika devotee. You enter the field of your relationship to Krishna and enter the feeling of some, enter the world of spiritual feelings, of spiritual emotions through the dasya way. You really purify all your senses in this way. I would like to now present to you a recording of Srila Prabhupada where